Good morning. Irving Bible Church brothers and sisters in person in the sanctuary at IBC, and also all of you who are with us online, part of our church family, part of our city, part of our country, part of our world, friends and family all over, I welcome you to this service of worship at IBC, in which we are, as Ryan just said, we're continuing in this series on the kingdom of God that started 2 weeks ago. And when that series started, for me, it put me in mind of a musical that I saw when I was 12 years old in 1967, a musical movie called Camelot. Now, you have to be old. I just turned 65, so I was 12 when I first saw Camelot. And Richard Harris played King Arthur. How many of you saw the movie? You remember the movie. It's a classic. It's a Vanessa Redgrave was Guinevere. And I remember at the age of 12 watching that movie about this noble king who had chosen the Knights of the Round Table to be his beloved community, into which he would pour his character and his teaching for righteousness and justice. And then they, together with Arthur, would build this amazing kingdom called Camelot, which would be a symbol of a quest for justice and freedom in the world. And I just remember being captured by a desire to be part of that. So later, when I was in college, I went to England to do a summer study program at Oxford University. And one of the courses I took there at Oxford that summer was a study of the Arthurian cycles. We actually went on field trips to certain 12th century spots in England where we believe that Arthur actually was a king and actually had a kingdom. We went to the tour. We toured around and we read all the ancient writers about Arthur and Camelot. And you know what I discovered in that study tour in England of Camelot and King Arthur? Is that all of that is kind of a myth. The myth of the musical movie that I saw in 1967 of a noble king choosing a beloved community of disciples who with him are going to build a kingdom of light that's going to be a beacon to the world of freedom. All of that stuff, that didn't happen. It didn't happen. And yet, the myth arose. What I discovered in my studies over there is that the myth of Camelot that I fell in love with actually derived from the kingdom of God. Literary critics talk about archetypes in literature and in history. That spawned other pictures of noble kingdoms and kings and kingdom people who did wonderful things in the world. They were not the thing itself. They arose from the thing itself. And I believe that Camelot, the myth of Camelot and Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and the shining city on a hill, that all derived from the biblical kingdom of God. So I get to be a part of it. After all, and so do you. The last 2 weeks, we've looked at the kingdom of God. And Barry taught us what the kingdom is in the first week. In the second week, he taught us who the king is. And this morning, my task is to teach who are the kingdom people. Who are the kingdom people? Now, turn in your Bibles or on your device to 1 Peter. It's a little epistle towards the end of the whole Bible. And I have selected one text among many that I have selected today that teach us who we as the church, who we as Christ followers, blood bought, our faith in Christ for our salvation, who we are as kingdom people. Who are kingdom people? And I love this verse in 1 Peter because in one verse, he answers the whole question. Look at it with me. 1 Peter 2:9. But you, he's speaking to Christians, Christ followers in the church, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I believe that there are three definitions of kingdom people in that one verse. And I just want to go through them with you this morning. The first definition of kingdom people from 1 Peter 2:9 is that kingdom people are a beloved community. We are a beloved community. In the musical Camelot, I just loved it that King Arthur went and chose those who would be with him. He chose those who would comprise the community of knights who would sit in fellowship around a round table. They were a beloved community of Arthur. They loved him. He loved them. They loved each other. That's exactly what the kingdom of God is like. That's exactly who kingdom people are. We are a beloved community. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. Again, the first phrase. You are a chosen people. Just like Arthur chose the knights to be around the round table. Guess who chose you? The Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:16. Jesus said, you, speaking to his disciples and through his disciples to all of us who are part of his beloved community, you did not choose me. But I chose you. I chose you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. Who are we as kingdom people? Therefore, are we a political party? No, thank God. Are we a social club? No. Are we a professional association? No. Are we a hobby group? No. Are we some sort of sports organization? There's all kinds of communities in our world. But guess what? Kingdom people are part of the beloved community of Christ. Kingdom people are Christ's community that he chose to be together with and for each other as we are with him to bear fruit as we walk gratefully together through this world. We, kingdom people, are a beloved community. And through history, this beloved community chosen by a cross-enthroned king. Remember last week, Barry taught us that Christ was enthroned as king on the cross. Those who our cross-enthroned Christ, who chose us to be part of his community, the symbol for us has been the cross. That's why through centuries, gatherings of Christians have put over their gathering place a cross to declare we are the beloved community of the King. That's why people today, like I am right now, many of you right now, we're wearing crosses around our necks. It's to declare I am a kingdom person. That means I have been chosen to be part of the beloved community. I think that such symbolism of the cross is so encouraging to those of us who are kingdom people in the world in which we live today. I mean, it's so encouraging as things get a little tighter for religious freedom and as the Christian point of view, not only in the world, but especially even in the United States, is becoming a little bit repressed. It is so good to be able to look around and see symbols of God's people in the beloved community, to know that I'm not alone. I love watching my pillow ads on TV. Not because I want a pillow, but because my brother, Mike Lindell, he hawks those pillows, but he has his cross right there, right? He's saying to me, I'm your brother. I'm part with you of the beloved community of the King. Who are kingdom people? Kingdom people are a beloved community. Second, we get from 1 Peter 2:9 that kingdom people are Christ-formed disciples. Now, going back to the musical Camelot, there's a wonderful song in there by Mordred in which she goes through the seven deadly virtues of King Arthur. And she basically is broadcasting the ethics and the teachings and the values of King Arthur. And she does this so that we'll understand that all of the knights of the round table, they are, as part of the beloved community of the king, they are expected to be formed in the values of the king. So are we, my friends. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people. What's the second thing? You are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Those knights at the round table were expected to be holy. That means set apart. That means they needed to be publicly demonstrative of the fact that the values and the truth that they followed in their lives that set them aside as being holy was that of their king. So are we to be a royal priesthood as we imbibe the values, the ethics of our King Jesus, how he wants us to live, what values he wants us to embrace. Jesus did that in the Sermon on the Mount, remember? Remember he talked about character qualities that he wanted in all of us in the beloved community, character qualities that would designate us as members of his kingdom. Let me just read to you the Beatitudes. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." That's the values of Christ. That's the way of Jesus. And kingdom people, Christians, we are called by our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be formed in his way, to imbibe his values so that they become part of us, fitting us to be holy, royal priests for his kingdom. You know, it's funny how T-shirts have been used in our age for people to broadcast the philosophy or the ethics of the guru that they follow. You have all these young people wearing around Che Guevara T-shirts. Or you got a picture of the Dalai Lama, you know. Or you got a picture of a rock star. Heaven forbid some even have pictures of politicians. It's their way of saying, this is my guru. This is the way. This is the truth that I'm choosing to follow. You know how Christians through history have broadcast who their guru is? What values they follow? What king they love and want to emulate? It's the fish. Remember the fish? The little fish that sometimes even today you see on bumpers of cars or in windows? The fish symbol. You say, Pastor Andy, how on earth does the fish proclaim kingdom people's guru? Well, I'll give you a little history of the fish. The fish, the word fish in Greek, the first letters of each of the word for fish, ichthus in Greek, it's an acronym. Each one of those letters stands for something, and I'm about to tell you what it stands for. Ichthus, Jesu Christu, Theou Huios Soter. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So when the world is wearing t-shirts with Che Guevara, proclaiming this is my philosophy and this is the guru that I follow, Christians have the fish. You want to know who our guru is? You want to know who we are being formed into the character and the likeness of? Do you want to know who we believe has the truth and the way? Jesu Christu, Theou Huios Soter. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Kingdom people are a beloved community, symbolized by the cross. Kingdom people are Christ-formed disciples, symbolized by the fish. Thirdly, kingdom people are a foretaste of God's coming kingdom. The beloved community that kingdom people build is a foretaste of God's coming kingdom. In the movie musical Camelot, there's a poignant scene at the very end of that movie in which King Arthur, Richard Harris, sings the famous song, which is the signature song of Camelot. He says, "Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot that for one brief and shining moment was known as Camelot." There was a place and time when for a brief and shining moment, this idea of a noble king with a beloved community are building together something that is like a city on a hill. It's a shining light that will change the world. Of course, that didn't happen in Camelot. But guess what? It's going to happen for kingdom people. Look at 1 Peter 2:9 again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A holy nation. It's very interesting. Peter is talking about us as the beloved community of the king being a holy nation. A holy nation. And that's interesting because we're a holy nation, but we all are embedded in nations. I mean, Christians in America, we are a holy nation within a nation. Christians in every other country of the world, they are a holy nation embedded in another nation. You know what we have as a word for that in history? It's called revolution. That you have a kingdom that has a group of people, a beloved group of people who, following their master and imbibing his values, are working for the propagation of that kingdom, seeking first that kingdom above all kingdoms of the world. You know, that's what got the Christians burned at the stake in Rome, because the Romans realized that the Christians' ultimate allegiance was to the kingdom of God and not to the empire of Rome. C.S. Lewis' great quote that Barry read about the king last week also has a wonderful phrase in it about kingdom people and the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis put it this way: enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say, in disguise, and get this, and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Revolution. Subversive. Not in a violent way, but in an inspirational way. The kingdom of God, as we've learned the last few weeks, is God's reign over God's people in God's place. And so the church, we are part of the kingdom of God. We are not the kingdom of God, because the ultimate kingdom of God is yet to come. The theologian Leslie Newbegin suggests that the church, as part of the kingdom of God, is the sign, instrument, and foretaste of that coming kingdom of God. That just like Camelot was a city shining on a hill, a beacon to the world, so is the fellowship of the beloved community of Christ-formed disciples, as we build that community into a city on a hill, which is exactly what Jesus called us. Remember? Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. N.T. Wright describes the role of the church and of kingdom people in creating a community that is like a foretaste of the coming kingdom of God, that encapsulates within our fellowship the beauty of the reign of God over us that is ultimately going to come over the whole world. We are a foretaste of that. N.T. Wright says, we, church, kingdom people, we are called to be part of God's new creation, the new creation that's going to happen whenever the ultimate kingdom of God comes to this earth forever. We are called to be agents of that new creation here and now. We are called to model and display that new creation in symphonies and family life and restorative justice and poetry and holiness and service to the poor and politics and in painting. Because as we do, as we build the beloved community, as a group of Christ-formed disciples, into a city on a hill, the allure of the beauty of that city draws lost people that God loves to see that city on the hill and to see that shining moment so that they will come and be with us. You know, Ryan was talking about Thanksgiving baskets for Thanksgiving. Just one of many things that IBC does as we seek to be a foretaste of the world, to be a demonstration to the world of what people who live under the good reign of God do. We love, we serve, we minister. I remember a few years ago, a family came to IBC and they stayed. They may be listening online right now. And when I met them for the first time, I asked them, how did you find your way to Irving Bible Church? because they'd moved down from north somewhere. And they said to me, well, we were in Kroger a couple weeks ago, and we were checking out, and we were talking to the lady that was checking groceries, and we just said to her, hey, we're new in town. We're looking for a good church to attend. Do you know of a good church? This lady's just scanning their groceries, right? And she says back to them, she says, well, I've never been there, but I've heard that Irving Bible Church is a place you can go and you can get help. They took that and they came to IBC. You see, IBC was a city on a hill. This lady had never been to it, but she saw it. And she directed others to it. So my conclusion, friends, is this. Kingdom people are God's special possession. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. In other words, if you are part of the beloved community and you are being formed in Christ as a royal priest, and if you are building your community into a foretaste of the kingdom of God, then you are God's special possession. Christ formed disciples whose beloved community is a foretaste of the coming kingdom of God are God's special possession, symbolized by the cross and the fish and the city on a hill. Now, another way of saying this is, kingdom people are God's special possession, but here's the rub. We all know that not every church person is a kingdom person. We all know that. Sometimes we go back and forth. I know I do. We all know that not every church attender who believes in Christ and is heaven bound is a kingdom person. Why? Because maybe they're in a season in their life where they're not becoming formed in Christ as a disciple, and they're not helping to build the beloved community into a foretaste of the coming kingdom of God. They just aren't. And that's where we come up with the difference between church people and kingdom people. I made a list. Church people tolerate, kingdom people love. Church people are a religious gathering. Kingdom people are a beloved community. Church people get acquainted with each other. Kingdom people make commitments to each other. Church people prefer uniformity. Kingdom people celebrate diversity. Church people follow rules. Kingdom people follow Jesus. Church people attend services. Kingdom people serve. Church people give if it's comfortable. Kingdom people give even when it hurts. Church people love the lovable. Kingdom people love the unlovable. Church people are members of an organization. Kingdom people are citizens of heaven. Church people fight the world. Kingdom people change the world. Church people debate justice. Kingdom people promote justice. Church people build monuments. Kingdom people start movements. I could go on. The difference between church people and kingdom people is significant. And that's why the mission and the vision of Irving Bible Church is all about making sure that church people are being transformed into kingdom people from now on. Can I read to you the vision statement of Irving Bible Church? God is calling us, the people of Irving Bible Church, to become a multi-ethnic movement of missionary disciples, a beloved community. Formed in the way of Jesus, Christ formed disciples. For the sake of the world, a foretaste of the coming kingdom of God. So I would just end this morning with a challenge to all of you who may find yourself in a season in which you're not so much a kingdom person as you are just a church person. How can I get back to being part of the round table? How can I get back to the noble kingdom? How can I get back to a beloved community and helping to build it into something that is like a city of hope on a hill for all the world to see? I give you three things. First, commit to being part of the Irving Bible Church community. And by that I mean, don't just come to services and leave. Get involved in the fellowship of all the groups and ministries and opportunities to come face to face with others in the beloved community. You got to be a part of the IBC community, not just show up and leave every once in a while. Secondly, join the ranks of IBCers who are being formed as disciples of Jesus. You may not have noticed this, but we work really hard around here to provide opportunities for folks to understand the scriptures and Jesus' desire for us in terms of our lifestyle and following him and the ethics and the faith that we have. And so we have our foundation discipleship ministry. We have our formation groups. We have our IBC daily devos that we do every morning of the week, teaching the scriptures. We have in-depth sermon series, all for the purpose of forming people into disciples of Christ. And then thirdly, participate in IBC's efforts to demonstrate the healing rule of God for the sake of the world. You know, this church builds water wells in Africa. We have an international now adoption ministry that we launched called Tapestry. We have a medical clinic. We are involved in ways that are making the rule of God in this place a shining moment, not for a moment, but hopefully forever. Get involved, participate, be with us as a kingdom person. You know, communion is one way that we can express as a beloved community our desire to walk in the path, in the lifestyle, and the character and the values of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we receive these elements that commemorate Christ's death on the cross for us, so that that cross enthroned king could choose us to be part of his beloved community, we are recognizing the privilege that we have of being part of this kingdom, which is the kingdom to end all kingdoms.